Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Excited to be joining with you this Wednesday morning, November 5th. A little post-election breakdown over here on The Morning Voice, Mr. Neely.
Breakdown is the operative phrase.
Yes, broken down on the side of the road.
Good morning, comrade.
Home. Yes, things did not go well. If you were looking for a center or right of center candidates in any way, shape, or form in the city of Tucson, or almost, Matt, on a national level as well, too. I know our show focuses on Tucson over here, and we're about to break down some of those election results, but goodness gracious, this one just didn't seem to go well for Republicans almost nationally, huh? Outside of that race in Mesa, where they had a recall election for one of the city council members over there, and Turning Point did a big push to do a recall on a Mesa city council person, I hardly see one right of center win across the nation on this one.
Wow.
I mean, Mamdani won in New York. You saw what happened in Virginia for both governor and attorney general. And, of course, our lovely city of Tucson over here.
Yeah. It's the Tucson City Council definitely took a step to the left yesterday with Miranda Schubert and Kevin Dahl returning. And all, matter of fact, the mayor had backed Barajas, she was Selena Barajas. She was on the show yesterday. The mayor had backed her and Miranda Schubert, and she got her wish list taken care of. So I can see a voting block developing that might cast the mayor as somebody who's not far left enough for them.
Right. Without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing to see over here. Of course, we had, for those that weren't
mayor was in Rio yesterday, by the way, after, you know, death and destruction and all sorts of chaos all weekend. And the mayor was in Rio, I think.
Well, so. I mean, as my drive down here under the moonlight, looking at the homeless population that was camped out in front of the businesses on Campbell Avenue this morning, I definitely thought to myself, Matt, you know what we need here is more climate change, actually. Right. We need climate action. We need to figure something out over here in Tucson. Sure. But mock if we will, the voters in the city of Tucson are saying a completely different direction. Yeah. For those that weren't paying attention at home, we had elections in wards 3, 5, and 6 last night. In the city of Tucson, we really had them for the better portion of this last month because it was a mail-in only election.
Yeah.
And of course, what could possibly go wrong in a mail-in only election? Well, not shockingly, there's already conflict about this one. I know you'll hear more about this on the 9 o'clock hour today from Kathleen Wynn, who happens to be the Pima County Republican Party chair and, of course, a radio host here on KVOI. But rumor has it that as early as 6 in the morning, ballot observers were denied access to observe these ballot stations. And there's a bit of conflict over here legally whether a mail-in election requires or you are required to allow ballot observers to appear at what I like to call as ballot drop boxes, but they're calling them ballot replacement centers,
That's
the nomenclature. Yeah. And so we're getting into a game of words over here about what these are called.
The definition of is, sure.
And whether observers are allowed at all in this type of election. It seems odd to me that we wouldn't allow some sort of observers, given that we're doing an all mail-in election over here. What else could you be observing?
Where was the communication between the Department of Elections and the county recorder's office with the parties, knowing that they traditionally show up at these things? Where was the communication say, hey, like well in advance of the election?
I'm seeing on Tucson Agenda, if you read that particular newsletter that just popped up at 6 o'clock this morning, so it's a pretty short window to have caught that, but they're saying that Kathleen had sent notification ahead of time to the elections department, but that it didn't make its way to Gabriela Cazares-Kelly, the Pima County recorder. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that one shakes out.
We put the fun in dysfunction here in Pima County and Tucson.
Yes, unbelievable to say that there would be yet another election integrity question popping up.
Shocking.
Over here.
After all the wrong ballots went out, you know, in the primary.
This is my problem with that, is that we just continue to end up with these like little niggles, and maybe this really isn't a problem. I mean, when you look at the election results over here, the proof is in the pudding. In Ward 3, Kevin Dahl's got 67.7% of the vote, and Janet Wittenbrinker's got 32.3%. This is with about 68,000 ballots reporting out of the 90,000 cast. This stuff, guys, doesn't work like a national election where you're going to see updates every hour or two. We got one drop last night. These were all.
I think there was an update around 10. So I think there are And I just had to laugh because there's this little italicized caption that says ballots will results will be updated every 2 minutes. It's like, oh, come on. I mean, you know, really?
Essentially, it was 68,000 counted in this race. And according to Pima County, there was 90,394 ballots cast. There's a little over 20,000 still left to count. So these results are very preliminary as of 7 o'clock in the morning this Wednesday over here. So if you're listening to the podcast of this one in KVOI, take note of that we're working with the information that we have at the time. And even if these day of ballot drop-offs at ballot replacement centers move the needle slightly to the right, 2 percentage points, 3, you're still looking at a pretty much a 2-to-1 Democrat voter advantage, which lines up exactly with Democrat voter registration, quite frankly.
So here's the question I have. Okay, I know there's been I'm going to assume that there's been plenty of voter outreach towards Republican registered voters. What kind of outreach has there been to independents, right? And that's the question I have through all this, because they're the ones that are going to swing any election.
Agreed. So again, for those keeping track at Score at Home, Tucson is 42% Democrat, 22% Republican, 36% independent. And so every year I hear the Republican candidates come out and say, you know what, guys, here's how we're going to win this election. All we need to do is just get all the independents. We get that 36% and they come over to the right and look at this. We've got a sweeping victory. But if we're looking at Kevin Dahl getting almost 68% of the vote, right, and only there's 42% Republican.
This is a guy who won his primary by 19 votes.
Yes. That means that he got, of the 36% independent, you know, he got 25%, of that. So 3/4 essentially of the independent votes broke to the left. And so those that are thinking that the independent voters out there are somehow a right of center, afraid to speak up type crowd, I think is a complete misnomer on this one. Like, the independents in Tucson are very, very clearly breaking to the left. And similar results happened in Ward 6. Miranda Schubert got 67.2% of the votes compared to 32.8% for Jay Tolkoff. So both Jay and JL got 32.3% and 32.8% of the vote, respectively. Almost the exact same thing. Two completely different campaigns. They didn't run together as a slate. They didn't have a joint campaign party or a watch party in any capacity. In fact, I don't think they did any events together the last 2 months or so, Matt. I didn't see them in any way, shape, or form, even on the same wavelength. And yet, two different campaigns. Jay went into Democrat groups, highly Democrat groups, and went to speak to them. And JL stayed a little further right of center and worked on the independents and the Republicans. And yet, two different campaigns yielding almost exactly the same results. Either way, we're going to have 5 of the 7 city council people will now be women or identify as women in some capacity out over here, which will give us the highest female representation we've ever had on the city council when they get sworn in here shortly. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty interesting factoid for us to pay attention to, too, as we look forward to what the city of Tucson is going to look like in the future. As you mentioned, of course, Selena Barajas wins Ward 5. There wasn't even a contested race in any real capacity outside of perhaps a few write-in votes over here. The Republicans didn't even run a candidate. And so the moment she beat Jesse Lugo in that primary back in August, it was pretty much noted that she was going to win well, too. And for those that aren't that politically motivated, this is a pretty big swing to the left for the city council. Miranda Schubert actively identifies as a socialist.
Right.
Selena Barajas isn't that far behind. Yeah. And Kevin Dahl is a climate activist, self-proclaimed. And so, like, these are all almost further left of center than the people that
you
they're replacing.
You step back to the primary, and you had Leighton, you know, you had what anybody would describe as a moderate Democrat, Leighton Rockefeller Jr., had run in that race. So yes, the primary weeded out any of the moderates and moved. And Jesse Lugo in Ward 5 would have been considered, or is, I consider, based on how I know him, a traditional moderate Democrat, in more in the traditional sense, not some progressive. So yes, I mean, that shift was the wheels for that shift were put in motion a couple of months ago for the primary, but it finished up last night, and it did, man. It shifted left. You are absolutely right.
And And it shifted left even further with the approval.
You're absolutely correct, I should say. Because right, left, yeah, I gotcha.
Pun intended, for sure. But Prop 417 passed, which was the Plan Tucson. Of course, nearly 300-page document that I'm sure every one of the 23% of the voters that came out to vote read all of the 300 pages on that one, so that the city will now have the pretext to be able to say, but you voted for it.
A CPAP machine on paper.
And all of the school bond overrides and funding initiatives all seemingly have passed as well, too, albeit with slightly lesser numbers than the Democrat candidates, 56-58% or so of the votes as well for those ones. And so pretty much a clean sweep for the Democrat Party in Tucson. No tremendous big surprise. I don't think there was a lot of political pundits out there saying this was going to move in the opposite direction somewhere. But nonetheless, for those that thought that perhaps the needle might be ticking just a little further to the right in the city of Tucson, perhaps there would be some objections to the economic problems that we're having here in Tucson. That is not the case. The voters of the city of Tucson have absolutely voted for more of the same. And I think we're going to look forward to more climate action and free transit in the future, sir.
I look back to, I think it was Mo Udall after he got selected in the presidential election. And I think it was him who said, the voters have spoken, the bastards. So, you know, that's where we're at.
Yep, without a doubt. Well, we should take a quick break over here, and we come back after the break. We're going to talk with somebody that has won a city election. Of the three people that are beyond this call over here, Matt, myself, and Mr. Rodney Glassman coming up. He's won an election in the city of Tucson, and he is running for attorney general in the state of Arizona in 2026. Don't go anywhere. A fascinating interview with Rodney Glassman coming up after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are excited to be joined live calling in from a little city up north over here, someone that knows a thing or two about the city of Tucson, former Tucson City Councilman, Vice Mayor, former acting town manager of Cave Creek, and current Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Air Force JAG Corps, Mr. Rodney Glassman.
Good morning, Grant.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us and taking time out of your Wednesday to be on The Morning Voice.
Happy to be invited.
Hey, so we had a little election in the city of Tucson last night in our off-year elections. I don't know if you got a chance to pay attention to those results over there, but we got our clocks cleaned by the Democrat Party out here for sure.
Well, as long as Tucson has those ward-only primaries at the citywide general, it's going to be skewed that way. And I was surprised quite a long time ago that I was the first Democrat in like 20 years when I got elected to the Ward 2 council seat, that if it would have been a ward-only general election, I still would have won, which some of my friends remind me I was the last person in Arizona to realize I was a Republican because of that.
Without a doubt, but you've won in the city of Tucson, and you were both our city councilman and vice mayor for a while. What changes have you seen in that decade and a half in Tucson over here politically?
Well, the Democratic Party as a whole has gone, frankly, insane. When I was a Democrat back in my 20s and early 30s, there was still some semblance of talking about, you know, the quality of life issues, you know, parks, jobs, law enforcement to some extent. But the Democrats have just taken a bizarre and insane shift to the left. You know, talking, you know, more focused on gender than talking about English and math, you know, more focused on defunding the police and response times for police officers. It's gone insane. And frankly, that's why a lot of people like myself are moving to the right, you know, registering Republican. And you see that across Arizona, why we have such a great registration advantage. And sadly, down in Tucson, what you see is a lot of Republicans and a lot of business people moving out of the city. Because they're just not being represented. And when I drive down, you know, as you know, I'm running for Arizona Attorney General to protect our law enforcement and our kids and our prosperity. And what I hear from business owners and what I hear from community people when I come to Southern Arizona is there's just crime, and homeless issues in the city of Tucson that the mayor and council aren't interested in addressing. So I'm troubled by last night's election results.
So what do you think you could do differently if you were elected attorney general? Last time along, 3 years ago, you got 186,000 votes in that Republican primary for that race, coming in second place over here. And it looks like there's only one competitor right now against you in that attorney general race. If you were elected attorney general, what could you do differently here for the city of Tucson?
Well, Grant, President Trump won Arizona by over 5 percentage points. But we have an attorney general right now that wakes up in the morning and sues to keep law enforcement from enforcing the law, sues to make sure that boys can compete against girls when it comes to sports. So as attorney general, I'll be running the largest law office in the state of Arizona, over 400 attorneys and 1,000 support staff, providing all the legal services for every state agency. So I will have the ability to truly make a difference in the state when it comes to making sure that we are business friendly, that we are protecting consumers. One good example, Judy Lowe, who was with Realty Executives, was our real estate commissioner for the state of Arizona for years under multiple Republican governors. She had a background of actually being in real estate. Governor Katie Hobbs, the liberal governor, has appointed a new real estate commissioner who, frankly, just didn't even have a successful career as a realtor. So there's 54,000 realtors in Arizona, obviously thousands of them in southern Arizona, with no representation and no one to work with at the real estate commissioner's office. Well, as attorney general, I will oversee the lawyers working with the realtors, so I'll be able to have a direct impact. But most importantly, down in southern Arizona, it's about law enforcement. You have a county attorney down there that does not prosecute. You have a county attorney down there that does not enforce the laws. You have a county attorney down there that does not believe in the rule of law. And as attorney general, I will work with the 15 elected county attorney's offices. And when they refuse to push forward with charges that protect law enforcement, I'll be able to step in with my lawyers and prosecute those cases. So when it comes to maintaining law and order, when it comes to protecting our police officers, when it comes to public safety as attorney general, I will be able to have a direct impact. And that's why I'm proud up here, Grant, that the Maricopa County Sheriff, who I think we spent time with at the Goldwater Institute dinner, he's the chairman of my campaign because he knows that I'm going to put law enforcement and protecting our families first.
That's awesome. That's Jerry Sheridan, right?
Exactly.
And so we haven't even run a county attorney, and by we, I'm saying the Republican Party over here, haven't run a county attorney the last two cycles, quite frankly. Like, why do you think that is?
You know, Grant, no idea. I think that the fact that you are a businessman and a successful businessman, doing this radio show, getting others involved, staying involved in the Goldwater Institute, those are the kinds of things that our business leaders need to do. All business people need to get involved when it comes to politics, when it comes to nonprofit work, and be engaged. And that way they can engage the people that work with them. There's a giant disconnect, I think, sometimes between working families, business people, and the policymakers down in southern Arizona that are trying to crush their livelihoods, that are advocating for homeless people as opposed to protecting our streets and paving our streets. And that's why we need more people like you and others getting engaged in the community, making sure that everyone's participating.
Without a doubt. I think while the city council likes to beat up on the business community so much, it would be helpful to have somebody out there with a certain degree of business acumen, right? You ran businesses here in the city of Tucson, right? You guys had your ice arena there for decades, I want to say, correct?
Nope. I was built while I was in high school in 1995. Oh. I started running it when I was 19. I got it profitable and sold it when I was 23.
Got it.
I sold it to Don Bourne and David Williamson, two local guys who hired a new management company, went through three of them, and now it's a passport facility. Tucson's a tough place to do business. It has been a tough place for a long time, but part of that's because we need more business people engaging in the political arena. You know, I'm going to ask your listeners to visit my website, rodneyglassman.com, and I'm going to ask your listeners to ask themselves, when's the last time they contributed to a candidate? Because voting's important, but you have to know who you're voting for and what you're voting for. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force JAG Corps Reserve. I've been a practicing attorney now, Grant, for almost 20 years. I'm married to my law school sweetheart that I met at the U of A Law School. We have two teenage daughters who are 15 and 13. I've been involved in the community for quite some time. And in our Republican primary, Grant, I'm running against a termed out state legislator who's 49 years old and got his law license 20 months ago. He's never had a client. He's never prosecuted a case. Why does all that matter? Because who we nominate as our Republican nominee for attorney general does matter, because that person has to beat Chris Mays, the liberal Democrat that has sued President Trump over 28 times since January, who has indicted Republicans across the state, who is suing the Cochise County Board of Supervisors for having the audacity to count their own ballots in their own elections. And so we have to put up someone that is the kind of person that you'd actually hire to be your lawyer. And that's where the fundraising, that's where the engagement, that's where the education on the job comes about. And that's why I'm so pleased to be invited to be on your show today.
I love it. I appreciate you taking the time to come talk to us on The Morning Voice and talk to Tucson, Arizona a little bit. We've got to take a quick break over here. Could you stick around for another segment with me over here and help break down what we can do to make Tucson a better place?
Happy to do it.
Love it. Don't go anywhere. We've got more fascinating content with candidate for Attorney General Mr. Rodney Glassman coming up after the break. You're listening to Grant Krueger on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to The Morning Voice on this Wednesday post-election day breakdown here in the city of Tucson. We're lucky enough to be joined by Attorney General candidate Mr. Rodney Glassman in the KVUI studios. Welcome back, Rodney.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, we're excited to have you here. The election results didn't exactly go the way many Tucsonans and a few people in this radio office were hoping over here. Do you think there's any change that we could make from the Attorney General's office that may be able to affect this ward-only election system we have here, this hybrid system in the city of Tucson where the entire city gets to vote for all six wards no matter where they live?
Well, Grant, you can run a bill at the legislature, get the governor to sign it, and have an attorney general that's actually going to defend Arizona's laws in court. We have an attorney general right now with liberal Chris Mays, who picks and chooses the laws that she wants to enforce. She refuses to keep boys out of girls' sports. She's attacking school choice when it comes to educational savings accounts, when it comes to charter schools. She's not a fan of business. She's suing the seven largest apartment owners in the state for using the exact same algorithm as U-Haul uses and the airlines use for setting their pricing. So she doesn't support private property rights. That's the kind of attorney general we have right now. And Grant, it's important for people to understand the role of the attorney general, because as you know, the attorney general does not work for the governor. And the attorney general doesn't work for the legislature. The attorney general is supposed to work for the people. That's why in Arizona, we're one of the 46 states where it's an elected office. So when during COVID, the government shut down businesses, it was the attorney general that could have gone and said, no, that's an illegal executive order. When the teachers union tried to double our state income taxes, it was the attorney general that could have sued to keep that off the ballot before the election instead of after. But that means we need to have an attorney general that actually knows how to practice law. And so once people understand the job, it's important to nominate the right candidate. And in our two-horse race, which we have this time in 2026, that is why we're getting the kind of traction we're getting all across the state from law enforcement. We've been endorsed. Our campaign has been endorsed by over 34 law enforcement associations across the state. We have the Maricopa County Sheriff. We have the support of the Yuma County Sheriff. And that's why we're doing well, though we need more with our fundraising. We're leading our Republican primary opponent. We have almost three times the cash on hand and twice as much as our Democrat. Yet our liberal Democrat attorney general right now, she has the ability to fundraise every day by suing the government. She files a lawsuit. She sends out a press release. She asks people across the country to send her money. So if you want to make a change, whether it's in Southern Arizona, whether it's in the city of Tucson, it's business people like you educating their friends and family on what this job, the most important job and the most impactful job in the state is, which is attorney general. And by doing that, that's how we're going to make a change. I call it Grant, and I think Katarina, if she listens to your show, she would probably appreciate the analogy more than most. I call the attorney general the wife or mom of government.
The wife or mom of government over there.
Wife or mom of government, because think about it. Only Katerina can wake up in the morning and decide whether you're going to have a good day. Only she can decide what's going to happen. And the reality is, remember, it's the attorney general that has immediate standing to go to court on any issue, on any issue. So we always think about the governor. Well, the governor doesn't have a grand jury. The governor does not have the power to investigate. The governor does not have the power to indict. And the governor doesn't have 400 attorneys that are funded by the state legislature. That's the attorney general. And my opponent, who is actually right now the termed out state Senate president, he's the guy funding the current liberal attorney general's budget. So he can't run across the state complaining about the lawsuits. He's the one feeding the addict. And so that's why I hope your listeners will visit my website. It's RodneyGlassman.com. We're still collecting signatures to get on the ballot, and we're trying to raise some money. So I'd love to have both, because if people aren't engaged in the process, then we're going to get the same kind of results that we've been getting year after year with these city council elections in Tucson, which is Democrat, 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 pro-homeless, anti-crime, free bus rides, but not focused on the business community that's generating the jobs and the taxes to keep our communities growing.
Rodney, this is Matt Neely. You mentioned this twice now, the need to get business people involved. And when business people get involved, Rodney, bad things happen to their businesses. Cars get burned. We got a guy up in Oracle or Catalina or wherever it is. He came out for Trump, and basically people tried to ruin his restaurant. We got car dealers here in Tucson that got all these nutballs blocking their entrance. By the way, they're not, you know, protesting Gaza or whatever, and they're not so when a businessman or businesswoman sticks their neck out here in Tucson, bad things happen. And by the way, you go block the driveway to a car dealership, I don't know so much you're hurting the car dealer himself or herself as much as you're hurting the salespeople who you blocked from doing transactions for a half a day or something like this. So that's what happens in Tucson when business people take a stand. Their business is put at risk. That's a bad place to be.
Matt, do you have kids?
No, sir.
Okay, well, Grant does, and Grant will tell you, you don't teach your kids to quit. You know, for those of you that know me from Southern Arizona, I was on the city council. I've ran for office a couple times. I don't quit. It's about persistence. It's about driving an agenda. It's not just about the business person getting involved. It's about making sure that their employees also understand what's happening, and making sure that the community understands, making sure that teachers understand, making sure that the teachers that are spouses of the business owners' employees understand. It's about education. You think about all the things that we've talked about so far on the radio this morning. Hopefully you and your listeners have learned something new about the attorney general's job. You know, all the lawyers for the Department of Corrections, the Department of the Registrar of Contractors, the Department of Real Estate, even the Department of Education. One of my other campaign co-chairs is the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Horn. You know why? Because guess how many lawyers the Department of Education has? None. They're all assistant attorney generals. So when I say get involved, it doesn't just mean giving money. It doesn't just mean voting. It also means educating those around you. And we can't give up. We have to have persistence. We have to have perseverance. I mean, obviously, you and Grant don't wake up in the morning to educate others in the community if there's nothing that can be done. It's not futile, but it requires trying and trying and trying at the legislature, at the local level, writing checks, and most importantly, educating others. And so, yes, there's going to be trials and tribulations along the way. As Grant shared, in 2022, I finished second in the six-way Republican primary. I beat a Supreme Court justice. I beat a wonderful woman whose family started Ping, the golf company. I beat an assistant U.S. attorney. I beat a lady who was the Republican nominee for Congress twice. And then I lost to the Trump endorsement in a six-way primary. Our opponent, who's now a congressman, Congressman Hamadeh, got 30% of the vote. But that doesn't mean I give up. That means I go at it again with the Maricopa County Sheriff and so many others. And so, yeah,
And I'm not saying anybody should give up, sir. I'm not saying anybody should give up. So if that was the message that was received by the people who heard what I said, that is clearly not the message. I'm just saying that's why there's a reticence, especially in Tucson, to kind of take a stand on an issue. And that
can't happen. The reality is if someone's business in Oracle got boycotted and the car dealership in Tucson had cars parked in front of it, that means there aren't enough restaurants and there aren't enough businesses that are participating. I remember when I was down there, I used to drive down Broadway and it was Rocco's Pizza, that amazing, delicious deep dish pizza. I don't know if it's still there, but he had a sign in front of his business and he talked about his positions. He talked about what he wanted for the community. And you know what? Many of us kept going there and others went there because he took a stand. You don't have to damage your business, but you do have to educate those that work there on how policymakers are negatively impacting their ability to earn a living, their ability to be safe on the streets, their ability to be safe in their homes. And that is the responsibility of business owners if they want to make the community better. And as Attorney General, I will be able to work with the business community. So when your Pima County attorney, Laura Conover, refuses to prosecute people that do the kinds of things that you're talking about, my office will be able to step in. Ken Paxton in Texas, the attorney general there, he often uses his resources to prosecute cases in the counties. Obviously, there's many more counties in Texas, but he does that because they're not as resource rich at the county level. For you guys, you just have an insane liberal county attorney that refuses to do her job. And so I will step in as the Republican Attorney General, doing the antithesis of what Chris Mays does now, which is really try to not pursue the law and not protect law enforcement. I will have law enforcement's back every time.
So, and this goes well with the question I received from a listener just a little bit ago. Why do you think Republicans are getting shellacked in Tucson? I mean, is it message? Is the message wrong? I mean, because by any objective measure, you can look around Tucson and things just aren't going right. Rodney, we've had three hatchet attacks, people getting one fatal in Tucson. I mean, this is medieval stuff. You know, this is not like garden variety violent crime. We're going medieval in Tucson. By any objective measurement, you look around and things aren't right in Tucson, yet Republicans are getting shellacked at the polls. What's going on? Do we have the wrong message? What's going on in your opinion?
Well, obviously, you know, we live up north. We moved up north in 2011. So for many, I have not seen a lot of my Tucson friends for quite some time, but I come down a few times a month to the business community. We've got a lot of wonderful support. My contention across Arizona, and it's not Tucson specific, is we need more business people engaged in the process. I was at a dinner last night with a very successful couple that owns a steel company up here. They're general contractors. And I said, how many lawyers does the Registrar of Contractors have? And they said, a lot. And the answer obviously was none, because they're all assistant attorney generals. I ask the average business person, tell me the name of your congressman. They look at me with great certainty and they say, Mark Kelly, who's a U.S. senator. We need to make sure that business people, because that's who you're talking about, business people, Republicans, but all people, are educated on the policymakers that are either making good decisions or making terrible decisions. So the next time that you're out and about at a restaurant, ask for the owner and ask them if they know the name of the county attorney. Because if they don't know the name of the county attorney, then they're probably not going to know about how she's not doing her job. And it gives you the chance to educate them one at a time, one at a time. It's like the story of the old man on the beach with the starfish, with the little boy. They're walking along the beach, and the old man picks up the starfish, tosses it into the ocean, and there's thousands of starfish along the beach. And the little boy says, well, you're not going to get them all. And the old man says, well, it mattered to that one, and it mattered to that one. And so it's about educating. It's about educating individuals. As the statewide elected Republican Attorney General, I'll be able to work with the business community to do that, but I'll also be able to work with the teachers. I'll also be able to work with the social workers. You know, Child Protective Services, they have no attorneys. Those are all assistant attorney generals too. And so there is a process, but it starts with education. And I would challenge you until the next time we visit to start asking people, how involved are they? What do they know? And then once you educate them on who the players are, invite them to participate. Invite them to write a check to a candidate. Invite them to host a little lunch for a candidate. I'll drive down.
Without a doubt, if we don't get involved, Rodney, like we are going to sow the results that we've been receiving this morning as well, too. We got to take a quick break here from a couple local business owners helping support local radio over here. Rodney Glassman, stick around for one more segment if you can. More coming up with Grant Kruger and Rodney Glassman on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we've got one final segment with Arizona Attorney General candidate, Mr. Rodney Glassman. Welcome back, Rodney.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Grant.
Hey, before the break, Matt was talking about the business community and what we need to do to stick up more and how we get clipped. We always need, I believe, Rodney, organizations to help cover us in some capacity, right? A Metro Chamber, an SALC, some trade organization to take some of those hits so that the individual business isn't receiving the arrows in the back. What do you think the Attorney General could do for that?
I disagree, Grant. I disagree. I think at the end of the day, it starts with the individual business people. You guys have great business organizations. You have the Chamber. I used to play ice hockey with Michael Guymon down there. He's a goalie. So if you can look past the fact that he's a goalie, he's a great guy. And at the end of the day, there's business organizations, but the business organizations can't be relied upon to do all the heavy lifting. The individual business owner who's interacting with their employees and their employees' families and understanding how the issues are impacting those families, whether it's school choice, whether it's law enforcement response time, whether it's neighborhoods and streets and safety. Those are the kinds of things that the individual business owner like you, Grant. How many employees do you have, Grant?
About 225 or so, sir.
You touch 225 families in a more intimate way than any business association CEO would ever be able to. And unless all of the Grant Krugers of the community know who their mayor, know who their city councilman, know who their school board members are, then how are your 225 employees with their families supposed to know who their elected officials are and how those elected officials are impacting them? Only by you being involved and your peers being involved at that level, not just by writing a check, which they should do to the business associations, but only by them being involved personally with their spouses and their families and their kids, are you as a business owner even able to up-channel and serve on the legislative committee and share that kind of feedback with the association. And I think that's one of the challenges that we've had across the state. But I think during my time in Southern Arizona, it was that reliance on the associations to do the day-to-day heavy lifting that needs to be done by the business community and by business owners if you're going to make the kinds of changes that you'd like to make.
Understood. Strength in numbers over there. We've all got to row in the same direction if we want to make some changes, particularly in Southern Arizona. Rodney, we've only got a minute left over here. Break down where our listeners can engage with Rodney Glassman. Give me your socials and your website.
It's very simple. It's rodneyglassman.com. We're collecting signatures. I'd ask your listeners to sign my petition. If they're independent or Republican, get me on the ballot. I would love for them to consider making a contribution on our website. And most importantly, Grant, I'd love to have their vote.
Got it. Thank you. That is an engaging conversation with Mr. Rodney Glassman, candidate for Arizona Attorney General. Rodney, thank you for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, don't go anywhere. Another engaging hour of The Morning Voice coming up after the break. Matt and I are going to break down all kinds of local restaurant news, and then we're going to talk a bit about the Greek Festival coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Hour 2 of The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. We're going to bring you a little more positive news over here in Hour 2. I love talking politics, but I also love talking local restaurants,
yes,
music,
do.
And Tucson-related sports. And there is lots going on in the Old Pueblo, both this week and in the weeks coming up over here. This is our high season, guys. That weather out there is great, and that means awesome outdoor events. That means sports, and that means restaurant openings as well, too. The Anchor Bar on the east side finally got open in the former Brush Fire Barbecue location located at 7080 East 22nd Street. If you remember, it used to be a video store, I think, many moons
You're
ago
right.
back in the day. I'm dating myself with this. But in that location, the Anchor Bar was famously noted as the creator of the Buffalo Wing, and it happens to be a Buffalo-centric bar, and it opened up just in time last weekend for the Buffalo-KC game, a rematch of the AFC Championship. And early reviews are in for great wings, so go out there and check out and support that Buffalo bar that is
Maybe
known as the—
Maybe we can go get a beef on whack.
Yes, I they have that, I yes. believe, as well, too. Those salty wet rolls, right? And so pretty cool to see that opening up in the Old Pueblo over there. Buffalo fans, kind of like Detroit fans, we drink a lot. You know, we have a lot to drink about over there. So that should be a profitable segment of the bar industry when you pick a team like that to follow. No offense to you Buffalo fans out there, as you're looking pretty good this year as well, too. And they beat the Chiefs on opening weekend. So excited for the Buffalo bar of the Anchor Bar to open up. That's a neat one for Tucson. As well, on a sad news, the Tucson baseball team has canceled their fourth, Matt, home series. That's now 17 home games in total that the Tucson baseball team has canceled since announcing on October 10th that they were having issues with their B1 and B2 visa process. There are 7 home stands left, 21 games, which means that we've already missed 17 of 38 home games with the Tucson baseball team. That's essentially half the season right now. And of course, this team is missing the season where the weather is great. Like, these are the good ones right now, right?
Sure.
In October and November, I worry about the outdoor baseball game starting at 7 p.m. in December. Like, that's going to be a tough draw for the team. And so I'm really feeling pretty bad for Victor Cuevas Jr. and Sr., who, of course, came on the show just a few weeks ago as well, too excited to promote this new live baseball team, pro baseball, coming back to Tucson. And we're having to play all of our games on the road, including Saturday's doubleheader, where we're going to play against Culiacan, the Tomateros de Sinaloa, and we're going to play those guys now in Culiacan, Sinaloa, as opposed to Tucson, and essentially the road team is acting as the home team. We get to bat, you know, at the bottom of the innings, but it's still not quite the same thing as having baseball fans in the Old Pueblo, and so that one is really, really unfortunate. There are lots of cool concerts and music festivals coming up over here. The Taruño Food Festival is going to happen at the Tohono Chul Park on Sunday, November 16th. It's sponsored by the Tucson City of Gastronomy. They've got a lot of local chefs, a lot of local music out there as well, $225 tickets to go out there and support the Tucson City of Gastronomy. That's on Sunday, November 16th. Speaking of Arizona Wildcat sports, what a great weekend we had in Tucson for the Wildcat sports team, right? A big blowout of Colorado, just absolutely hammered Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes on the road. The Colorado had suffered a big loss the week before, giving up over 60 points, and they gave up over half a hundred to the Arizona Wildcats as well, too, and the Spirits are feeling pretty good for Tucson. We're one win away from bowl eligibility right now, and that win could happen this upcoming Saturday, 1:30 p.m., Arizona Stadium against the Kansas Jayhawks. It's homecoming as well, too, man.
Indeed. Homecoming, yes. And I think it's a 1 or 2 o'clock game?
It's a 1:30 game. Yep. They announced noon earlier in the year and then moved it. I think
so
the TV
Homecoming's the one where they always want like the 4 o'clock kickoff, so you can sell a lot of beer on the mall. So because they do a lot of beer sales to benefit the fraternities and organizations on campus, so they really like that. They really so the last couple last homecoming I think was a noon game.
Yeah,
and this was a 1:30. So you know you've got
to start 6 hours before kickoff drinking. So.
And what do you always say, Grant?
you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
So, you know, there could be some interesting long faces by 10 p.m. or so over at Union Hospitality Group watching the homecoming football game over there for sure.
But you've got a chance at some after-game business.
You so do, for sure. And actually, I think it helps out business to have these earlier starts, quite frankly, because it doesn't clip your 7:30 p.m. Saturday night dinner. You get a 1:30 start. You're looking at a three and a half hour game. It's buttoned up by 5 p.m. You get out of that stadium, you're ready to roll right for dinner,
indeed,
right into your local sports pub, indeed, in some capacity. And so we're very excited for that one. Speaking of sports pubs, I've got my own liquor license hearing with the city of Tucson today, starting at 5:30 at the city council meeting, looking for approval on the former Hi-Fi location. You can own your liquor license and you can own or have a lease on the location, but it still requires both a municipal and a state approval. And so I'm going through that process a little later this afternoon. So sorry, city council people, if we were saying anything offensive in the first
that was
hour.
Matt who said all that.
It was all Matt
Healy.
It was
all Matt
Healy. Yes, 100%. He's got the mute button. He's got control of what happens on the microphone over there. So sorry if I
made your afternoon more difficult, Grant.
But just as we were saying at the first hour about the business community speaking up,
right,
like this is the kind of thing that can
point
pop
I'm trying
up
to make
for you over there. And it's pretty unlikely that you would have massive liquor license problems. They do occasionally get denied for bars or convenience stores, as we talked about a few weeks ago. But generally, the good players, the people who are responsible in some capacity, move their way to the consent agenda on these things. Because no matter where you stand, you do want economic development in your community. You do want jobs. You want a new restaurant, bar, a new pub. Could employ 50, 60, 70, 80 individuals in the city of Tucson. And that's nothing to shake a stick at when you're creating that many jobs over here. It's actually quite a good thing. And so I'm hoping to have a little bit more luck than perhaps the city council candidates had last night when I go in front of the city council today looking for approval for that sports pub that we're hoping to call Block A in the former Hi-Fi location located at Congress and 4th Avenue. Also coming up this week, we're going to have the Dusk Music Festival, right? The 15th and 16th of November. Weekend as well, too. So that's downtown's premier live music event. We're going to talk a little bit more about Dusk and the Greek Festival. That's a budding Dusk with our guests coming up after the break. We're going to have Peter Anadranistakis, if I pronounce your name correctly, Peter. If I screwed that one up, I'm incredibly sorry. But Peter is the founder and CEO of Circle Stone Capital and the director of the Greek Festival, a big contributor to St. Demetrios Greek Church. And so he's going to come on in about 5 minutes or so, and we're going to talk about the things that they've got going on with the Greek Festival in the Old Pueblo happening at the same weekend as Dusk. So that's going to be a really, really exciting downtown,
yes,
Tucson development,
yeah,
over there. And again, this is what happens when the weather's nice over here. You get late October, early November, late March, you know, early April. Like, these are the times that we want to do awesome outdoor events. Also this weekend, Rockin' for Heroes. Right, so that's this Sunday.
We will be there. So hopefully, if you're there, please stop by. We'll have a tent and KVOI at 10:30. The Voice, and I think the drive will be up there.
And I think the doors open in Oro Valley at
1 o'clock.
Yep, 1 o'clock. Entertainment beginning at 1:40 p.m. for Rockin' for Heroes. And so that's a great free event as well, too. Right?
Yeah.
How often do you get a free concert out there to go hang out?
Free concert, Lexington Lab Band. Maybe I'll play some of their music for the remainder of the hour, just so people can get a flavor of it. They perform. They're just a group of Cracker Jack, you know, studio musicians, just very good. And they perform all your favorite hits and everything from, you know, rock to pop to you know, more of a groove stuff. So it'll be a lot of fun, a lot of good music.
Yeah, and that's a great festival out there, Oro Valley. The weather's supposed to be great this weekend, yeah, as well, too. So the day after, you know, go check out Homecoming. Support the Wildcats on Saturday. Rockin' for Heroes on Sunday.
Thanks,
go out and visit your local bars and restaurants beyond that one. We're really excited for Tucson restaurant season to be happening right now. Notice the last couple weeks, we haven't been talking about any closings over here because, like, this is the time, right? This is when it happens in the Old Pueblo, when things get good. The license plates start to change. change colors out there. The fall colors are upon us in Tucson. It's really exciting, and it's nice to both hear the cash registers ring. I love seeing our servers and bartenders go out there.
Even the hatchets that they're attacking people with in October, they're a little more dull.
Right.
So it's just a little softer, a little kinder.
They're nicer hatchets. They're out-of-state hatchets, so they bring the good ones in, you know, as opposed to the Harbor Freight brand hatchets. Sometimes over
they're,
here.
They're rubber hatchets, so it's more of just for show.
Right, right. Well, why don't we take a quick break over here? When we come back, we're going to have Peter Anadranastakis. He's the CEO of Circle Stone Capital. He's also running the Greek Festival. We're going to talk about all kinds of cool things that Peter's got going on. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger and Matt Neely on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m. You're home for local news and talk.
And Grant, that is the Lexington Lab Band. They will be performing free concert on Sunday.
Rockin' for Heroes in Oro Valley. Love it. That's a great event this Sunday, November 9th. Thanks for playing that one there, Matt Neely. And welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are lucky to be joined live right now in the KVUI studios by Mr. Peter Anadranastakis. He's the CEO of Circle Stone Capital, a partner in the Tucson City of Gastronomy Collective over here, and a director of the Greek Festival, which is coming up next week as well, too. Welcome, Peter.
That's great to be here, Grant. Thank you for having me today.
Hey, we're really excited to have you here today. You've got so many things going on in your life. Why don't you give us a little background about Peter for the listeners who don't know who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Peter Anadranastakis, been transacting in Tucson for about a dozen years, moved here full-time 4 years ago. Feels like home, feels like my original home in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. The people are amazing. Community's amazing. Folks like yourself that literally do it all. You know, you're on the radio, you're in the community, you're supporting charitable events, you're supporting the U of A. For me, I'm just very honored to be involved in the Greek community, the Greek Orthodox community here in Tucson. And as you said, I'm co-chair of the Greek Festival this year, Circle Stone Capital. We have a boutique investor, accredited investor only investment platform. We mostly invest in real estate and cash flowing in real estate, mostly apartment buildings, but other things like the City of Gastronomy and the Gastro Park that's coming up. And I just love life.
I love it. You've been a big force since moving to Tucson. I just seem to cross paths with you all the time in so many different social and business settings. And so I'm really excited to get you on the radio over here and talk both about you and all the things that you've got going on that you're bringing to the table here for Southern Arizona. As you know, my wife, Katerina, is Greek as well, too.
So thankful.
Loves St. Demetrios. And the Greek community has been a very important part of my life over the last decade. And St. Demetrios Greek Church burned down, right? Had a tremendously terrible fire in 2013. And you were instrumental in helping secure a new location for the church as well, too, right?
I was lucky to jump on and kind of start getting integrated in the Greek Orthodox community and the church community just after that decision was made. But since we moved to the new location, purchased some property from the Jewish community, overlooking the Catalina Mountains, very close to the JCC, I've been involved ever since, I would say. And originally, I just wanted to help out with some fundraisers and sort of mind my own business and just go to church and keep a quiet life. But God had different plans, and as they say,
as he often does.
And I'm the co-chair of the Capital Campaign Committee to build a new church, and that's going extremely well. Co-chair of the building committee that works with the architect to actually design the church, and that's going very well. I'm on the St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox board. I'm on other various things, and I get lots of phone calls from wonderful old ladies who invite me to their homes for coffee and cookies and want to share stories about the good old days. So yeah, I'm very thankful. It's really an amazing community. The church burned down about 12 years ago, but now it's rising again.
I love that. And so that Greek festival had been held on the property, right? On Fort Lowell Road for decades and decades, and was the primary fundraiser for the church for many,
correct,
many years. And of course, in the absence of being able to use that building, the festival hasn't happened now. There was this little thing called COVID as well, too, kind of in the middle, that cut down on a few large personal gatherings for a few years there.
Yeah.
But But now the world's getting back to normal, right? We can do big festivals. Matt and I were just going over all the cool things that are popping up in the Old Pueblo in just the next few weeks. And the Greek festival's on our radar over here. We're 10 days away right now from the first Greek festival in a number of years. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so it's, you said it exactly right. The old church site, which got sold, and very fortunate to take those proceeds, pay cash for the new church site, plus have almost $1 million extra dollars in the bank to put towards the building of the new church. So the community is doing really well. Had several acres, had over 5 acres of land. I don't want to say plenty of places to park, because people still talk about the long lines and the food lines and things like that. But there was enough infrastructure there to be able to host a festival where families would come. They'd want to eat. They'd want to look at dancing. They'd want to taste authentic food. And they'd want to have a place that they can put their car, of course, and transport there. So the new church site doesn't have that. It doesn't have all of those parking spaces. It's beautiful. It's a couple acres of land, but it just doesn't have the infrastructure to support all of that parking. So thankfully, a gentleman by the name of John Rallis, who many people know in the community, him and his partner Paige Rep, put on the Dusk Music Festival, came up with somewhat of an ingenious idea to have the Greek festival the night before the Dusk Music Festival. So Dusk is taking place on November 15th and 16th, and the Greek festival is taking place on the 14th, and we get the benefit of utilizing that same infrastructure downtown. So the same stage, the same lights, the security, all of that. So it's really by their generosity and our collaborative efforts that this is going on. It's going to be downtown across from the Monica, and we really want to thank Rio Nuevo for their generous support. And about 2 years ago, we test marketed the concept of a Greek festival by bringing in a Greek singer from Greece by the name of Thanos Petrelis. We had a beautiful outdoor concert downtown
at the Museum of Modern Art.
Of Contemporary Art at MoCA. It was a fabulous night. It was really well attended, really brought the community together. And Rio Nuevo also supported that. So that was the impetus of getting us back to thinking about bringing a Greek festival downtown.
I love the economies of scale of this one with Dusk over here. Of course, Paige and John have been just great contributors to the music community, the entertainment community in Southern Arizona. Dusk's genesis started at the Rito racetrack, moved to downtown about 7 or 8 years ago, and has been a real economic driver for downtown ever since. I mean, they're bringing in national level artists, and the stage and the infrastructure that they put up, the LED walls and the lights and all, I mean, this is second to none. Like, this is first rate concert stuff, and you're basically kind of getting a ride in on their coattails to a certain degree, right?
100%. You know, I thought, okay, John, thank you so much. John's amazing. And I thought, there's no way Paige Rep is going to love a Greek festival before. It's just more work. I've been asked to volunteer and to help, and I see all the people and time and infrastructure that goes in, the LED walls, the art installations. Well, when John brought this up with Paige, Paige brought CAD-like drawings. He's an architect and is in the construction business, as you know. And he's so excited about the Greek festival. He helped us lay it all out. He's helping us at cost to build art, Greek art for so it's literally going to be Dusk meets Greece. It's literally going to be like a little party in Mykonos and Athens in downtown Tucson.
I love it. That's fantastic. And Paige is a fantastic steward of events over here. I mean, it's not just Dusk Music Festival. He's been the genesis of many of the concerts that the Tucson Conquistadors have done. Dusk is partnered with the University of Arizona,
yes,
and they're doing huge tailgates. We've been part of that at KVOI and participated in some of those tailgates that they've done, calling it the Bear Down Bash,
wow,
right at the Bear Down Field just north of the stadium, that practice field over there. Like, Paige is throwing the rocking good times for just about everybody in the city of Tucson over here. We definitely all owe him a debt of gratitude, or maybe a Tecate Light if you see him out there on the street in some capacity.
Yeah,
as well,
definitely too. A Tecate Light. He and John are just a great combo. What I really love about Tucson is folks like yourself. Like, you're married into a Greek, so now you're Greek. You've been a big supporter of the Greek community. I can't thank you enough. You are so generous with your time, so generous with your restaurant venues. You also do so much in the community. But it's really these types of collaborations that make things happen. And maybe that's why you and your producer are seeing so many great things popping up, because there is that energy. That energy in Tucson is back. That energy in downtown Tucson is back, and all the cool festivals that are taking place. I'm blown away by everything that's coming, and that everything that's supported, and people are coming from outside of Tucson to see it. That's what really makes it cool as well.
I love that. I mean, that helps fill up the hotels, that helps fill up the restaurants. Like, that brings outside dollars in. We're not just shifting the same dollars around in some circular fashion over here. We're bringing outside economic impact right into downtown Tucson. And Paige and John are definitely doing that with the Dust Music Festival. And I'm really excited that you're going to do that with the Greek Festival as well, too. You've got a headlining artist as well, though, too, right?
Yeah, she was one of the opening acts for Thanos Petrelis at the Museum of Contemporary Art. Her name is Evangelia, but she is unbelievable. If you look at some of her YouTube videos, she has 2 million, 3 million hits on some of them. She was a runner-up at Eurovision, which is a really big deal in Europe. She's born in America. She does Spanish music. She crosses over into Spanish music, does Greek music, does English music. She's an incredible artist. Her name's Evangelia. She's our headliner, and we couldn't be more excited. It's going to be an amazing concert. We're going to have other live Greek musicians there. We're going to have traditional Greek dancing and Greek costumes there. It literally is, you're going to be at the Acropolis when they put on these super cool concerts that focus on ancient dancing and ancient Greece coupled with modernism. It's really going to be something. It's going to be a spectacle for the senses, particularly the taste buds. It should be pretty
I'm
great.
Really looking forward to this one as well, too. The Greek food happens to be one of my favorites. Well, why don't we take a quick break over here and hear from some local sponsors that help support local radio, make conversations like this one on KVOI happen over here. And we're going to have an engaging conversation about some of the food, some of the vendors, some of the cool things coming up at the Greek Festival. That's this Friday, November 14th. So do go out there, get your tickets, show up to the Greek Festival. It's going to be a really important, amazing cultural event. Peter and I are going to come back after the break and talk a little bit more about that one. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m. Your home for local news and talk.
Lexington Lab Band taking us out. They'll be Cree Park in Oro Valley Sunday, 2 o'clock, Rockin' for Heroes concert. We will see you there. Again, just the Stone Cold Aces Lexington Lab Band. You'll see them for free Sunday at the Rockin' for Heroes concert, Cree Park in Oro Valley. Gates open at 1 o'clock. Festivities get underway at 2 o'clock. And we hope to see you there. Now back to Grant.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Every Wednesday, 7 to 9 a.m., you get me, a little local talk, restaurants, just a dose of politics. But 7 days a week, you get The Morning Voice. On Mondays, you've got Lydia Aranda. On Tuesdays, Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. On Thursdays, tomorrow, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And on Fridays, Dr. Ed Ackerley, bringing you wonders from the University of Arizona. But right now, we've joined live in the KVI studios with another segment from Peter Anadranastakis, who's the CEO of Circle Stone Capital, part of a partner in the Gastronomy Collective on Broadway, bringing you some local great restaurants and food opportunities popping up over there. And of course, next Friday, the Greek Festival. Yeah, welcome back, Peter.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
Hey, so we were talking before the break about some of that delicious Greek food that's going to be available next Friday downtown. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what's being served down there?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is the number one thing, as I've been doing and had the good fortune of doing some interviews. I'm really blown away by how many people love Greek food. And of course, I do love Greek food. I know you said you love Greek food. But some of the food that's going to be there is going to be authentic. So I shared with some of your listeners previously that I get invited into wonderful people's homes for traditional Greek food. And those same men and women are going to be baking some delicious Greek desserts, first of all. So you're going to have some delicious Greek homemade baked desserts, baklava, loukoumades. Baklava, as many people know, is phyllo pastry, honey, walnuts, usually some cinnamon. Loukoumades are better than Krispy Kreme donuts hot out of the oven, especially when loukoumades are hot. They're like little dough balls that get deep fried and they get honey, sometimes some nuts, there's some sesames on them and some cinnamon. We're going to have chicken gyros. We're going to have Greek salads. All the desserts, as I shared, we're going to have frappe, which is, in my opinion, the best way to drink coffee. It's Greek coffee, so you're going to get Greek hot coffee. You're going to have frappe. And all the foods you kind of have come to love, including maybe ones you've never heard of, like dolmades. Dolmades are grape leaves. Basically, it's rice with grape leaves around and some spices inside of them. But the food is going to be outstanding. And we think we're going to knock it out of the park just with the food alone.
It's my favorite part about the Greek festival is certainly the food over there. And I'm just excited that this is coming back for Tucson after such a long absence. When was the last Greek festival? It was pre-COVID.
It was pre-COVID. So once COVID hit, it shut down and it just didn't really start back up again. And there was a few factors, as we mentioned before. The church that had the fire, that property got sold, a new church was purchased, but other things happened. Restaurateurs decided to retire. And so there was less people that were sort of in that mode and in that business. And it was just before COVID when the last Greek festival took place.
The Greeks have always been a culture that's been built around entrepreneurship and restaurants. I think it's one of the things I love about Katerina and her family, right? Is that they're restaurateurs. They know like all the struggles, the trials and tribulations that we go with. When I say I'm going to be home at 9 and I get home at midnight, it's because I was, you know, fixing the waterless urinal or rebuilding the three compartment sink somewhere.
Exactly.
I've always loved that about the Greek communities, that they've always been like so heavily connected to the restaurant business. Why do you think that is?
It's a great point. I grew up in the back of a restaurant, and I'll tell you that my most disappointing conversation I had with my parents is when I told them I wanted to get into the restaurant business like them, or I wanted to be an entrepreneur. They were so upset. So the Greek, they wanted me to be a doctor, a lawyer. And when I settled on real estate developer, I still don't think they've forgiven me. I'm still, you know, because the Greek parents want to be in a Greek church and say that my kid's a doctor, a lawyer. But I think it's from an immigrant mentality. It's a great way to get into a business, to become an entrepreneur and to make money. And the way my dad explained it is that for him, he had no other choice other than to work in a factory or start his own business. Those were his two choices. So he started his own business. And I think once people see that somebody's successful and people like their food, then another business gets into that business and people like their food. But it is a 7-day-a-week business. It's very difficult. I remember my parents worked 364 days a year. They slept on Christmas Day. It was the saddest day of the year for me. I was super excited. I was up and all my parents wanted to do was sleep. It's a tough business.
Certainly, it is a grind. I turned gray over there for a reason. I know this is radio. You can't see that one over there, but it happens, you know, prematurely. I think from that restaurant lifestyle as well too. We've had so many great Greek restaurants here in Tucson. What are some of your favorites? Like, where would you say somebody could go out and get authentic Greek food here in Tucson?
Well, there are a lot of good choices. I'm just going to say I love Papoulis. Papoulis Avgo Lemonos Soup, which is an egg lemon soup. It may not sound delicious when you describe it, but you put it in your mouth. It's got rice. Sometimes it's got chicken in it. It's pretty fantastic. I think their chicken and their chicken gyros is one of the best. We have opas, of course, that have pretty great dolmades and have really good tzatziki. It's really hard to say who my favorite is, but I would say that the folks over at Papoulis and the Katsonis family, along with Kais over at Opas, do a great job.
Without a doubt, I think those are great choices. I didn't mean to put you on the spot over there. I know you might get in trouble at the Greek
I'll
festival.
Be in trouble.
Don't mention somebody specifically in some capacity over here. Hey, let's switch gears a bit and talk about Broadway. You're involved in that development on Broadway with the bungalows. These are the houses that were infamously moved, you know, on the north side of Broadway, just west of Campbell. I think I've told you before, the first residence I ever lived at in Tucson was one of those seven bungalows as well too. So I am acutely familiar with those properties, having stayed at, I believe it was 1611 East Broadway, the second closest to downtown of those bungalows. Tell me about that project.
Yeah, you'll have to come by and see. It's your former home is being transformed into seven gastro lounges and then also somewhere between 7 to 10 restaurant-like serving areas that are going to honor 4,000 years of Tucson food history. So one of the reasons why this site has come alive is to try to honor why UNESCO named Tucson a city of gastronomy. So we're going to have some of the best food that it diffuses, anything from ancient grains to chiltepines, and hopefully also infuse that in some of the mixology. So right now, if you drive by all of those bungalows that were moved back, Rio Nuevo did a great job of saving those bungalows and spent a significant amount of money from them going to the wrecking ball, and I'm sure thankful they did. So when you go inside, they're turn of the century, beautiful, beautiful bungalows that are there. We've put a fence around the entire property, so when you come onto the property and you buy a drink, you'll be able to walk from bungalow to bungalow, food restaurant to food restaurant. All of the interiors are getting renovated right now. I'm sorry to say there's some altercations being taken place inside of your former home, so you'll have to come and see it before we change it too much.
You're going to have to do some changes to a home to convert it into food service, of course. And if I recall, for that home, you know, the bedrooms are small and the living room and kitchen areas aren't as modern as a home built in the last, say, 50 years would be. And so it's not going to be the ideal layout up front for a food service establishment. I mean, there's got to be some dramatic renovations. Is it all going to be one liquor license then?
It's going to be one Series 6 liquor license that'll be shared, that'll be throughout the entire property. And you're absolutely right. But we're keeping the charm. So in a lot of these places, they have the original hardwood floors. They got the alcoves. We're trying to bring back some of the brick that used to be maybe plastered over time. But we're making them into something that's very, very, very special for Tucson. And in addition to the bungalows that we have, we've got the parking lot to the west. So now living in Tucson, it's kind of like living in my home city of Winnipeg. Everybody wants to know where to park, so there'll be plenty of parking right across the street.
I love it because parking, of course, has been the biggest challenge on development and almost all of Broadway on the Sunshine Mile over here, as we took the parking lots from so many of these mid-century strip centers but left the building standing.
Yes.
Which puts you in a bit of a challenge, right? You either have to knock down the buildings, which are zoned historic and not likely to be knocked down, or you've got to acquire some other parcels. And so you've got a significant piece of property just to the west, right? Just closer to downtown for our listeners over there, that's going to be an ample parking lot for this gastronomy collective.
Correct. So it's an ample parking lot right across the street. We also have some opportunities. We have another building that's right next to that parking lot in escrow to just make it even more convenient for people to park. And we anticipate people will go there as a destination. We anticipate food tours will start there. We hope that highlighting this UNESCO designation that Tucson has will be something that people will really not only want to park, but will want to stay at this food park.
I think it's great. I'm excited for what's going to happen on Broadway over here. Hearing what Sloan's going to do with Welcome Diner, I've been eagerly awaiting to see that one pop back up over here. It just looks like it's frozen in time. Like you could just turn on a switch and open it up. And I know you can't. As a restaurateur, I know how crazy that statement might be. But gosh, it just looks so ready to go. And there's just so many not open businesses down there. I'm really excited to see some activity happening on the Sunshine Mile to enjoy some of the success that we've been seeing downtown as well too. But why don't we take a quick break, Peter, over here? We're going to have one more segment coming up with you after the break. We'll talk a little more Greek Festival and that gastronomy collective. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant and Peter on 10:30 a.m. The Morning Voice.
Again, with the Lexington Lab Band, you'll see them free concert Sunday, Cree Park in Oro Valley. Gates open at 1 o'clock, and festivities get underway at 2. And you'll be seeing these folks, the Lexington Lab Band. I tell you, Grant, I cannot wait for Sunday at the Rockin' for Heroes concert at Cree Park. The Lexington Lab Band, they're fabulous.
It's going to be fantastic, Matt. This is going to be a great event.
Absolutely. It's free. You'll be supporting first responders, active military, Gold Star families, and the fourth, I cannot remember the fourth and the four heroes, but can't wait to be there. And it's for a good cause. The concert's free. The entertainment is top notch. And you can have some fun out on a beautiful afternoon.
looking forward to it. Matt and listeners, there are so many things going on in the old Pueblo over the next week or two. This is the time of year we sell all the real estate. This is the time of year
I can't wait to get Saganaki at the Greek Festival. Right. It's been years.
So we've got U of A's homecoming coming up on Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Rockin' for Heroes on Sunday. The Greek Festival on Friday, the 14th. Dusk Music Festival on Saturday and Sunday. Like, my schedule.
Clear my calendar, Grant. I'm having some fun for the next couple weeks.
I'm looking forward to this one. And welcome back, Peter. You're the CEO of Circle Stone Capitals, the City of Gastronomy Collective that you're doing. What's the brand name of Broadway right now? What are we called?
It's the Tucson Gastronomy Collective, and it's going to turn into Tucson Gastro Park and Tucson Gastro Lounge.
Tucson Gastro Park and Tucson Gastro Lounge, and director of the Greek Festival. How do you find time to do all this stuff, Peter?
How do you find time, Grant, right? There's an old saying that says, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. So you do have to focus on the top priorities, but being Greek, bringing the Greek Festival back is a priority, running a successful investment platform is a priority, and trying to do something great for the city of Tucson with the gastro park is a priority. And we just try to make things happen. And I think, as you pointed out, it's a small group and maybe a large group of wonderful people in Tucson that just try to work together. It's collaboration. It's the team.
Well, Tucson's been really blessed to have you come back here over these last 4 years. You've been such a dynamo to be involved in so many important projects like this one as well, too. And so you originally came from Winnipeg, you were saying?
Sort of. I made my way from Winnipeg. I did a lot of work overseas in Chennai, Mumbai, Singapore, Bangkok, Kuala Lumpur, London. And then I got tired of traveling from Winnipeg, which is like traveling from Tucson Airport. You got to fly somewhere sometimes to get somewhere. And that's really changing. I'm loving flying out of the Tucson Airport. That said, I decided then just to do work in Chicago and Minneapolis and LA and New York. And then I thought, you know what, there's this direct flight to Arizona. And I decided that about 12 years ago. And I'm like, I just want to take direct flight. So thankfully, there was a direct flight to Arizona. I did a lot of work up in Scottsdale and Phoenix and in Dallas and whatnot. And I found my way and I met some great folks at Rio Nuevo, Mark and Fletcher. At that particular time, we originated a hotel at the Tucson Convention Center. And I just decided 4 years ago, Tucson is going to be my home. It's just the people are amazing. And I feel the opportunities are amazing. And as you feel right now in November, everything is alive in Tucson.
Without a doubt. If just the other 11 months of the year could look like this, like, we wouldn't be talking about economic development on this show very often. We'd be trying to slow down inflation or something over here, right? It's those other months of June, July, August, and September you got to be a little more worried about here in Tucson, for sure.
Yeah, it's where really, somebody said to me, the strong do survive, and that's what you got to do, and we all got to try to hang on, and we all got to try to work together. And thank you for not only having me on the show, you wanted to be have on next week, but I'm actually hosting an investor event at your restaurant. So we try to all support each other and try to support St. Philip's Plaza and try to support people that we know. And that's just little things make a big difference. And so I think that's what Tucson does. Tucson does the little things right. That's what you do and folks like Paige and John and other great people at Rio Nuevo do. I think they do the little things right.
I love it. And it's one of my favorite things about here is how we do support local business owners. You see how many successful locally owned restaurants and bars and lounges that we have here in Tucson, respective to our population size. It's because people choose to go to a Vivace. They choose to go to a Prep and Pastry. They choose to go to an Opa's Grill, right? As opposed to necessarily just hitting up yet another chain. And I love that about here.
Yeah, I love it about here. And if you know Danny, you mentioned Vivace. I just went to his place, the Treasury, knocked it out of the park. It's also in downtown Tucson in the former Chase building where he used to bank. And people in Tucson are just pretty special. I'll just leave it at that.
I think so as well, too. And you're going to bring a special event coming up next Friday, the 14th. Why don't you break down for our listeners where they can engage and learn more about the Tucson Greek Festival?
So the best way to engage and learn is go to TucsonGreekFestival.com. You can purchase tickets through Eventbrite or through the TucsonGreekFestival.com website. General admission tickets are only $7. VIP tickets are limited and they're $150. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be food. There's going to be live music. There's going to be major performing artists performing at this venue. You're going to learn to speak Greek. You're going to learn to dance Greek. You're going to be Greek for a day. It's going to be like being a combination of on a Greek party island, but also in Athens. There's going to be art and culture. It's 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Friday, November the 14th. It's one day only, and it's right before the Dusk Music Festival. Same location, the mural lot right across from the Monica.
I love it. Thank you, Peter, for coming to spend part of your Wednesday with us. We really appreciate your time and your involvement in both the Tucson community and the Tucson Greek Festival.
Thank you, Grant. Wonderful show. Thanks so much.
And listeners, thank you for spending part of your Wednesday with us as well, too. It's always a pleasure to get to talk local business, local restaurants, and just a bit of politics with you here on The Morning Voice. Remember Tom Moulton tomorrow from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance and Kathleen Wynn coming up after the break. It's been a pleasure. You've been listening to Grant Kruger on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk.